there are a bunch of people coming in to talk about careers and what they do. And so I really think it's a worthwhile thing. Everybody that comes to it feels it's really worthwhile because they basically talk about their careers, you know, the path, the things that they do, the things that other people in their company do, and what might interest you in computing. So be sure to come next week, next Tuesday, because that's when they're coming in, and there's going to be four or five of them that we'll just kind of talk in a panel discussion. He's one of the ones that's coming, so you can ask him some questions then. But, you know, basically ask what they do. That's the kind of thing you're interested in finding out. I'd find out whether they've continued on with their education or not. And what they do, what, you know, what's a day like? What, you know, what do you do? And if the person turns out to be a programmer and you're going into networking, you can ask about, is there anybody in your company that does networking and what do they do? And that sort of thing. But it's more the asking, what kind of job do you have? And, you know, most people ask, do you like it? Do you enjoy it? Do you find it challenging? Things like that. Okay? But he's one of the ones that's coming in next Tuesday.
What time is that?
It's during your class.
Today's Tuesday.
Right, so next Tuesday at 11. So same time, same place.
Okay.
For another throw-packed episode. Okay, so he will be in next Tuesday. And there's four or five of them coming that have varying jobs. And we'll talk about what they do in the field. Okay? And so, you know, definitely. And they may or may not take the whole period. It depends. And if they don't, we'll just continue on after they're done. But they'll be here for both the 11 o'clock and the 12:30 class. Okay? Okay. We are going to talk about theory now for a while, which is always fun. So if you would look at normalization and click on that. Okay. Databases, relational databases, are what we're talking about. And relational databases have been the main kind of database for years. Now big data is also coming along, but big data, pretty much as the word big implies, is big data is big companies tend to use it. Amazon uses it, Google uses it. It hasn't filtered down to the majority of companies in the Fall River area, okay? And won't for a while, even if it ever does, because big data is also very cumbersome, very challenging. So we're going to look at a relational database, which is the kind of database that most of us work with. These rules were developed to get you into what is called third normal form. And I think there's actually six rules, but the last three are very rarely used. If you get a database into third normal form, then it's well designed. And as I've said before, when you're designing a database, you don't want to do it alone. You want people from the business and people from the technology side working together and thinking of all of the things that could go wrong and trying to develop the best design possible. Because once you've designed the database, it's very hard, once you've got a lot of data in it, to change it. So you want to think it through very carefully before you do. Okay. So, a relationship is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay. So, I've got, let's say, a student database. And I've got a table with student information, and I want to put in the courses that that student has taken. If I put it on the student table, I've got repeating groups. And the problem is that if I start out and I've got my student ID, my student name, and then some other information about the student, and then I have a slot for course one, and a grade for one, and a slot for course two, and a grade for two. That's known as repeating groups. And the problem with that is I decide that nobody's going to take more than 30 courses. So I set up to 30. And the next day, somebody wants to sign up for their 31st course. And I tell them, sorry, I only have room for 30 courses. You can't take 31. So that's why repeating groups is a problem. And I was told about, I was placing a phone order one day, years ago. And I got to the sixth item that I wanted to order, and the person said, your order is full. And I said, but I've got two more things I want to order. And she said, but I've completed your order. And I said, but you haven't completed my order. And we talked for a while. And finally the person said, all right, I'll make a new order for you for those two things. And so I had to give her my name, my address, all of the information all over again for those two things. And the reason was that the document she was working from that went into a table only allowed her to list five items. And once she'd listed the five items, she couldn't take any more items. That's all I could order. Okay, because there wasn't a slot set up on the table to take a sixth item or a seventh item. And so she had to do a whole new one. So that's the problem with repeating groups. Okay, if you've got repeating groups, that's the problem. So what you would end up doing is setting up a second table that would have the student ID and the course number, and you would probably put in also the date that the course was taken, because somebody might have to take a course twice. And then you would put in the grade. So if somebody took 10 courses, there'd be one about the student. There'd be one about the student, and then there'd be 10 entries over here in the courses that the student took. Okay? And so this would be the student table, and this would be the student course table. And I'd have the student ID, the course, and the date. Now the other thing is that when you have a table, you have to have a primary key. Think back to Access, you had a primary key. And it was an ID number. The primary key is frequently an ID number. So in this example, that would be the primary key. But what the job of a primary key is to uniquely define the record. A primary key uniquely defines the record so that no two records will come up if I put in a primary key. Well, if I go over to this table, STU ID can't be the primary key because then the student could only take one course. Course couldn't be the primary key, because then this person can only take, there can only be one person in a course, okay? And date, so if I combine these three and make that the primary key, and that's allowable, a primary key can be composed of multiple fields. So if I say, okay, this is a particular student taking a particular course on a particular date. Date being the semester. You know, fall 18 would be our semester. So the date would be the fall 18 or something like that. Those three together make up a primary key. If I just had STU ID and course, then the student couldn't take the course a second time. Okay, so I have to have STU ID, course, and the date, and those make up the primary key. Okay. Then they come up and say, okay, that's first normal form. Then if you look at second normal form, a relationship is in second normal form. if it's already in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So, in this particular example, grade is dependent on all three of these things. Because the grade changes with who the student is, what course they take, and what date they're taking it. So the grade is dependent on all three things. Okay? So that's a legitimate thing to have there. If I had something like the student's name in there, okay, I wouldn't want to have the student's name because the student's name is only dependent on the student's ID. It's not dependent on anything else. Okay, so the student name would not fit in that table. They also say if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. So anything about the student, anything about the course can't be there. Okay? So that gets me to second normal form. A relationship is in third normal form if it's in second, and it only determinants and contains candidate keys. Okay? So, let me take a picture of this. So, if I put on there major, I'll get this right yet. So let's say I take this and I'm going to put on somebody's major. Okay. If I have a code for that major, I can't put in the major name. Okay, I can't have both the code of the major and the major name because the major name is dependent on the major. It is not dependent on the student. It's dependent on the major. Okay? So I can't have the major here because the determinant is major. Okay? So I can't have that here. I can still have the major, and then I would come up with a major table. And on it, I would have the major, CI, and the major name. And the primary key would be that. Okay. So that means if I put CI on your record and for some reason I want to print out computer information systems, I can link from the student table, I can link over to here and get the major name. So I might have CI on the student's table, and then I come over here and get the major, which is CI. If the person was a business major, I'd have BU over there, and come over here and BU would say business, and business, whatever it is. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
So third normal form cannot contain information in second normal form?
Try again.
No,
try then asking the question
again.
Asking the question. Yeah, because I don't understand what you're asking.
Second normal form, example.
Second normal form is that you can't have anything that if there's a primary key made up of parts, You can't have anything that relates to only one of those parts.
Okay.
Okay? So I can't have something that relates to only one of the parts. And grade is a perfect example, because grade relates to the student, the course that they're taking, and the semester they took it in. Okay? So you might have an F in, and the student might have a course that they got an F in, and then the next semester they take it and get a B in it. So it would be on there twice. The differential would be the date. Okay. So that is getting something into third normal form. And it's also talking about primary keys. Questions. Looking for one in particular that I thought might answer that question, but I don't see it. Okay, so now you have one other thing that you need to consider when you are considering designing your database. Data can be in a one-to-one relationship. Why does that just want to come up? Let's make it go away, please. Data can be in a one-to-one relationship between two tables, a one-to-many relationship, or a many-to-many. So that is the relationships that you have to data. So if I have a table, then one-to-one is not used very often, because one-to-one basically, why couldn't you have just made it one? But the only example that I can think of is if you have a payroll system. And you have a payroll, part of the data is public, and part of it is private within the company. So you have, for example, the employee's office number and extension and all of that are public. Anybody can get at them and find out how to get in touch with this person. But information about their salary and things like that is going to be private. Okay, and that is only available to certain people in management, not to everybody. And so at this point, you would have a ID number, you would have the name, you would have the extension, you would have the email, all of those things that you consider open source, anybody can see them in the company. And then on private, you would have the ID number and pay and other information that you consider private. Okay, both of these would have other information. But this is a one-to-one relationship, okay, because one employee has a record on both tables, and they only have one record on both tables. Okay, so one employee has a record on the public table, and that employee also has a record on the private table. Okay, so that's a one-to-one relationship. Okay, one-to-many, we have pretty much discussed already, and that is the student course thing that we talked about. So if I have a student table and a student course table, this is going to be an ID number, student ID number we'll make it, student ID number, and this one is going to have a student ID number. But the difference is on the student table, we'll have a student name, we'll have an address, we'll have a major, etc. We'll have a lot of information. Over here, we'll have the course number, the date, and the grade, like we just did on the last one. And this is a one-to-many relationship, because one student can take many courses. So I can have many records on this table. I can have many records on this table, and only one on this, one record per student on the student table, many records per student on the student course table. So that's a one-to-many relationship. For a given student that just took one course, it's a one-to-one relationship, but it's set up to be able to handle a one-to-many. So one student can take many courses. Okay. Questions?
And how would the date for that second...
Pretty much however you want to. I assume you're asking how will you put it in.
Right.
I would say that for academic purposes, I'd put something like F18, meaning fall 18, spring 18, and summer might be XX18. And I'd put it in that way. You could put the actual date that the semester started. So September 3rd, 18. Could go in there as the date that the semester started. Or it could be the date the semester ended and the grade was given. Okay, but it would be something that related to the semester. Okay, the next example is a many-to-many. Okay, guys, the low murmur is distracting. Okay, the best one I've seen on this was a star and a movie. And this was, I just thought, a really good example. So I have a star, and the star has a star ID number, and a name, and other information about the star. But if I start trying to put the movies that this star has been in over there, I'm going to have repeating groups. Because somebody might be a star just on based on one movie, but somebody may be a star based on 10 movies or whatever. So I have a repeating group problem. And I have the same problem over in the movie table. Okay, so I have the same problem over in the movie table in that I've got a movie ID number, which is going to be the primary key, and I've got the name of the movie, and then I want to put who starred in the movie. Well, the movie might have 20 stars, or it might have 5 stars. So I can't put them over there because I have a repeating group problem. And so I can't put the stars in the movie table, and I can't put the movies in the star table because I have a many-to-many relationship. And that is that one star can be in many movies, and one movie can have many stars. Okay, and I don't have a maximum number on any of these. So what I do is I set up what is called a bridge table. And this is a movie star table. And on it, I put the movie ID number and the star ID number. And those together are the primary key. Okay? So I've got the movie ID number and I've got the star ID number. And then information that I could carry might be salary. Because the salary would relate to what that particular star got for being in that particular movie. And so the star relates to both parts of the key, to the movie and to the star. Okay. Yes.
Wouldn't that need to assume that every single movie star made a different salary?
It doesn't assume it, but it...
In order for that to work. Right?
No, because I'm putting in, if I write 100,000 each time, that's fine. That one made 100,000. Movie XYZ, star 1 made 100,000, star 2 made 100,000, star 3 made 100,000, it would be fine. But that would not be what I would design for. I would design for the idea that everybody will make a different salary, because in fact, that's probably the way it is. It depends on how much they're in the movie, if they're in one scene or if they're in 1,000 scenes, and that sort of thing. And how much money they can charge and successfully get. Okay. So that's a many-to-many relationship. Questions? Okay. Let's say I have a customer. And I am, the customer is buying from me, and I am have an inventory as well, that they're going to be buying from my inventory, okay? And I need to send them an invoice, okay? So I've got something where I'm going to send them an invoice. Okay. So over on the customer table, I'm going to have the customer ID, the customer name, the address, and phone number, email, whatever I need about the customer. This is all about the customer, and that's my primary key for the customer, okay? Then I have my inventory table, and it is going to have an item number as the primary key, and then it's going to have an item name, and then it's going to have something about cost and price, and on hand, and on order, and reorder point, and on and on and on. Okay, so that's the kind of information you would carry on the inventory table. And it all relates to a particular item. There'd be a new record for each item on the table. So now I have an invoice that I have to send out, or an order. Actually, we can call this just an order instead of an invoice. They place an order. As an invoice, we talk about it. But we place an order. Now, lots of times, a company will, when they place an order, give a unique number to the order number. Okay, so they won't make it the customer ID, et cetera. They'll make a unique order number. And one of the advantages of this is you can have five people all taking orders. And if the order number is unique and just comes up when you go to put in the order, then you know that you have duplicating order numbers. Okay. So I'm going to have an order number, and that is going to be the primary key. Okay, so it's a unique number, the order number that I generate. Now, what I have to know about the order is I have to know who ordered it. So I've got to have a customer ID in there. And that customer ID links over there so that I can get the name and address. What you don't want to do when you design and develop a database is have repetition. So I have the customer's name and address on the customer table. I don't want to put their name and address on another table, because then if they change their name or move, I've got to remember all the tables that it's on and go in and make the change in all of the tables that it's on. So I never want to do that. The only thing I want to have repeat is things I need to link the tables together. Other than that, I want the information to be unique. So I need the customer ID, I need the customer name and address on the order. I will link over to the customer table and get it. I won't carry it on here. Okay? So this is the customer ID. What else do you want to carry on the order?
Cost.
Not for a few minutes. We've got to figure out what they want to buy before we can get to cost. Okay?
No,
because I can go over and get that. Eventually, yes. But let's go with date first. I need to know the date of the order. And then the item number. But now I got a problem. If the order, like the order that I placed, I want to order 7 things, I can't put the order on there because I'll make repeating groups if I put the order on there. So what I've got to have is a line item. Table. Order line item. Something like that. That means that the overall order has an order number, a customer ID, and a date. Think about an order, a piece of paper, an invoice, or whatever. And they have usually at the top, they have the name and address information, and the date, and the order number are all printed on the piece of paper. Okay, so I've already got the order number, I've already got the customer ID, I've already got the date, but then down at the bottom part, they list the different items that you buy. Okay, and there's no limit, or you'd be crazy to have a limit. You want them to buy lots of things. So you're going to have those line items. So that line item is going to have an order number that relates it over to the order, and when it relates to the order itself, it also relates to the name, so I don't even have to carry the customer ID there. Because if I have the order number and I go to the order table, it will give me the customer ID for that order. And then I can go over to the customer table and get the name. And remember, I'm not doing this. The computer's doing it. It's automated, and it takes a portion of a nanosecond to do that, so we don't have to worry about it. So on the line item, I want the item, the order number. Then I want the item number, too, because I need to know what item it was that they were ordering. Okay, so I'm going to have the item number, too. And then I need to know the quantity. Then I need to know the quantity that they're ordering, right? Okay. Now, because I know the item number, I can actually link over here. And for one thing, when I know the quantity, I can check to see if we have enough to do it. So I can check against on hand to see if there's enough to fill the order and let the person know if there isn't enough, if it's going to be delayed or something. You mentioned price, and price I can also get by going over here. But lots of times people will put in price quoted. because the price can change. Okay, there was one point where my husband was a consultant to a company that sold gold, and gold was changing every 5 minutes. The price was changing constantly. And so you had to be careful that you gave the person the price that you quoted them, not the price when you actually filled the order, because the price could have changed radically. So lots of times you take over the price that was quoted, meaning, and that doesn't mean it has to be quoted by somebody, it just means that at the time the order was placed, this was the price. And so I'll take the price over there and put it there because it's a moving target on some items. If I sell inventory where the price never changes, then fine, I don't have to do that. I can always just, when I fill the order, go over to inventory and grab the price. But if the price is fluctuating, it's a good idea to put it in there. So the primary key on this is the order number and the item number. Now, if the person orders it a second time, we're going with a simplistic approach that will come back and change the quantity. So if they order it, and then as they're filling in their order, they write it again, we'll take it and put it on. If not, then I would have to have another code in there for the first time they listed it on their order, the second time they listed it on their order, the third time, if I thought they were going to do that. But we're going to ignore that. Okay. So this is the way that I can set this up. And the important thing is to show how these link together. Okay, so I have to think through how these link. The order I link on based on the customer ID. Okay, then once I got the order, the line items for it are based on the order itself. And what they order, the item number comes over here and gets it. Now, what those are called foreign keys. Okay, so a foreign key A foreign key on customer ID here is called a foreign key. And a foreign key links from one table into the ID of another. So it is linking over there into the ID, so it's called a foreign key. Okay. Item number links into the primary key here. So item number is a foreign key. It links into the primary key. Foreign keys link into primary keys. Order number is a primary key, because it links into the primary key. It's a foreign key, I'm sorry. Order number on the line item is a foreign key that links into order number on the order, which is a primary key.
So a key can be both primary and foreign?
Yes. Well, no. A key is primary, and something can link into that. The thing that links into the primary key is a foreign key.
So where order number links to a primary key.
That's right.
Where order number is part of the primary key.
Right. So order number here is a foreign key that links over there. And the better example is one that's not part of a primary key. So the best one is customer ID that links over there to customer ID. That's the cleanest one.
So there we wouldn't call order number in the third table. We wouldn't call that a primary key?
Yes, we would.
But also a foreign key?
It's part of a primary key.
Oh, because that's okay, that's okay.
It's part of a primary key.
Seriously.
Okay. But a field has to link into a primary key to be called a foreign key. So when I specify that I want to, and we're going to look at access, when I specify that I want to link into a field, I have to let them know in my query that I'm linking into a field on a different table. So our queries are going to be written a little bit differently, because if my query uses two tables, I need to be involved in how they're linking together. Okay. The next thing we're going to look at is data needed. It's the third link down. Student four table, data needed. Okay. I want to set up a database that contains all this information. So I've got to go around and I've got to decide on what tables I would need and all of that. Take a minute and look at it and see if you can figure out at least some tables that you would set up. And so just take a look at this and try to lay it out. Paper and pencil would be a really neat idea. I called this four table, which gives you kind of a clue that I think it's going to be four tables. What we're talking about in one or two classes is a whole course. Database design is a whole course or two. Yep. So we're just doing a quick little summary. And usually often in junior or senior year of college. Yep.
You wanted us to make it so the student ID is not the primary key?
No, student ID can be the primary key. Why?
Because I was wondering, usually with access assignments, you have us generate our own instead of having anything on our generators.
No, you may generate your own, but actually I don't. I actually don't like the idea of having access generate my key for me. So, if people do it, that's fine, but that's not usually my choice. Because then it's an arbitrary number that's hard to keep track of. So, Yep.
Wouldn't the some of the department information be included in the student table? Because how would you get from the student table to the department table?
Okay, that's why I said this. Yes, the department would have to be in the student table because I need to link between them. So yes. This isn't a complete layout. We'll look at a complete layout, but this is just the information I need. And in fact, on the bottom one, you got to think about the fact that the student is taking the course and all that. You have to link that in. So yes, you have to put in the information that will allow you to link, yes.
Just to clarify, if you have a foreign key that links you to one table, and that table that you just linked to has another foreign key that links to another table, are all three linked?
No, you have to follow the path.
The first one does not have access
to it? No. Not through the foreign key, no. So what are the four tables going to be? You got a student table.
Department table.
Department.
Course table.
Course table.
If you wanted to link the first three tables together, would you link it with department code?
Well, I'd have department code the link there, but course I wouldn't actually link in. I'd let that link in through the bottom table.
Okay.
So the first table is going to be student, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to be the primary key for this table? Right. So that's the primary key. And what other information do I have to carry on that one to make it be able to link correctly?
The student's name.
Student's name is there. I've got the ID name, city, state, GPA, and I might have a lot of other information like phone and email, but I just don't have that there. But I need to have what you pointed out.
Department.
The department code has to be in here too. Because I need the department code to be able to be a foreign key linking to the department table. Then I have the department table, and for some reason it's decided I can only write in black no matter what I pick up.
You're supposed to hit one of these, choose colors. It popped up on the screen.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll go with black. So I've got department code there, and department code is going to be the primary key. And I can link from the department code in the student table to find out what department you're in. So think of department like major, basically. Okay? Then I have the courses available at the college, and the course number would be the primary key. I have the course number, so CIS 120, and then the name of the course, and then the number of credits would be 3. And then I want to keep information about the student taking the course, including the semester, year, and the grade. What else do I need on that one?
Student ID.
And what else?
Course number.
And then I said I needed semester, year, and grade. So what's the primary key on this going to be? And what am I have to take a course twice? So these three together, we just looked at that. Those three together are the primary key. Okay? So those three together, the student ID, the course number, the semester, year, and the grade, make up my primary key.
So you don't have to link the department and the course table?
I have it so that it can link, but I don't know what guess what you mean. I've got links going on here, so I've got the course number linking over to the course number there. And I've got the department code linking to the department code there, and I've got the student ID over here that links over to the student ID there if I want student ID. The link is not well drawn. Student ID to there. So I've got them all linked together. And that's an important thing, you're right. Because if I have a table up there and I can't link it to any other, then what good does it do me? But the course number, the students, what courses they're taking, their course number links to the course table. Their ID links up to the student table. And then the department is kind of, okay, that's fine, that's my major. And that is links from the student into the department table. So, now if we move on I've got the database. So click on the database there. And here is the database that I set up for this. Now I'm going to save it on my F drive. I guess I won't save it on there. I'll save it on my E drive. Okay, so I've got these student tables. I've got the student table, I've got the department table, I've got the student course table, and I've got the course table. So if I look at the student table and view, it's got the student ID, as we said, and the student ID is labeled as the primary key. And here's the primary key up there. And I've got it by default, it puts it on the first field that I put in, because most people make the first field the primary key. Okay, so that first field is the primary key. And then I have the name, the city, the state, the department code, and the student GPA. Okay? So that's the information that I have on my student table. And the thing to notice there is department code, I have to notice is 2 characters. And department ID is 5 characters. And it's important that I note those are 5 and 2, because when I make the one that they are linking to them or they're linking to, I need to have them the same size and the same type. And these are short text and the same type. Okay. So I need to kind of be aware of that. So that's my student table. Then if I look at my department table, it's got a department code, and it is 2 characters. So I'm fine there. Okay? I'd have a problem if the department code was 2 characters one place and 5 characters the next, because then they wouldn't necessarily be able to link. And I've got the department name and the department chair, and the department code ends up being my primary key, but it is also the one that is going to be linked to from the student table. So the department code in the student table is linking to the department code here, and it can link in here because it is a primary key. Okay? So that's the department code table. And I have, if I look at the data on it, I have just business administration and computer information systems. But obviously I would have a lot others. Okay, then I'm going to look at the course table. And the course table has the course number, which is the primary key, the course name, and the number of credits. And course number is going to show up on another table, so I look at it, and it's a text field, and it's 6 characters. So I kind of keep that in mind as well. And if I look at this course table, the data, I have the number, the name, and the number of credits. So those are the courses that I put in my table. And then the last table is student course. And that has the student ID, the course number, the semester year, and the grade. Okay, so all of those go together. Student ID, course number, semester year make up the primary key. Okay, I highlight all 3. And then push the key button in order for the key to be on all 3. So I highlight all 3 and then I push the key button. And then I get a key of all 3. Now we said that the student ID should be 5, and it is. And that the course number should be 6, and it is. So that means it's going to link okay. So those are my 4 tables that I've set up. And I can go in and do the linking if I want to, or I can do the linking in the queries that I do. But if you look up here at relationships, it gives you the 4 tables. And I can say, okay, I want the student table, I want the department table, the course table, and the student course table, and close them. And I can draw my links by just dragging. And when I drag it over, it says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a table linking the department code. Do I want to create it? And I say yes, and it creates it. And then student ID, I'm going to link over to here. Okay, and I'm going to pull these down so you can see the links a little bit better. And course number, I'm going to link here. Okay. So I've got my course number linking to that table. I've got my department code linking. And I've got my student ID. Okay. So under relationships, I can go in and draw these if I want to. I don't have to, but it helps to clarify what my links are. And it's kind of a nice map to see how they're working. Okay. Questions? Because they don't have anything in common, so I can't. But I can get to them because I have them linked to something else. And so if I'm over here and I say, okay, I want to find out about what department this person is in, then I link over to the student ID, take the department and link in here, and I can link it and find it. Okay? So not all tables relate to everything. But I should be able to get to them through a series of links, and that's the important thing.
Drag-and-drop function.
Pardon me?
I like the drag-and-drop function.
Yes, it makes it easier. Okay, so now I'm going to create a query. So I'm saying create query design. And I'm going to use the student table and the department table. Now, because I established the relationships, these are already linked. If I was just doing the table and I had not established the relationships, then you would not see that line there linking, and I'd have to do the drag and drop kind of link to make it happen. So I would be dragging the department code from the student table over to the department code on the department table if that link wasn't there. So that's the link for the query. So the query is basically saying, I'm going to look for, if you're using two records, I'm going to look for matching in the department codes. Okay. So now I come down and I'm going to fill in the data that I want to see. And I decided I want to see the student ID, the student name, and I'm going to put the department code in twice just so that you can see it. In fact, I should not do that because they're going to be the same. But I want to prove to you that they're going to be the same. So I'm putting the department code in twice. Okay? So I've got the student ID, the student name. Now notice what it does. Under field, I have the field name. Under table, I have what table it should be gotten from. So it tells what table it should be gotten from. Okay. So I'm just going to get a list of everybody. And so I'm going to do a view. And it is showing me the information that I wanted. And notice that these two are the same. Okay, these two are the same. And that's because I established the link. Relationship between them, and it said, okay, this should link over to that, so I only want to see it if they successfully are pointing to the same thing. So I want BU on the students table to point to BU on the department table, because that's the appropriate one. So I'm basically saying in SQL you would write this as I want to see student ID, student name, student department, department, etc. Write those all out. You'd have a where clause in there that says where student department on the student table equals student department on the department table. So you put a where clause that did the linking if you were doing it in SQL. But here, I can just do the drag, which links them together, and so it gets the match set. Okay, so then I can come over and we'll save that. Query one, sure. Okay, so now I'm going to do another query, create query design, and I'm going to do student and department again. And this time, I'm going to do student ID, student name, department code, and department name, and I'm only doing it once. And I'm going to put under department code that I only want to see the CI students. So this is the same. I can set up my criteria the same way that I set it up on other things. Okay? So I'm saying I only want to see CI students. And when I run this, that's all I'm seeing is just the CI students. Okay, so I said, where is the CI? Okay. Okay, now let's try one where you go in and show, I'm actually going to stop this. Okay, so I want to see the student table, the student course table, and the course table. So I want to see a student ID, a student name, and what course it's taking, what course they're taking, and the name of the course. So try doing a query for that. So I'm going to have the student table, the student course table, and the courses table. And I'll put the grade in for good measure. Pardon me? You can drag them right here. You can't make them if they aren't good already made. Yeah, you're right. Well, then you have to make it when you're doing the query. I don't know why I could do it and you couldn't. Just likes me better. He can't do the relationships. You clicked on relationship.
we can.
Yeah, so break with that linear design view. Try the relationships up there.
He can connect it, not in the query, though.
In the query, he couldn't do it in the relationships, right?
Really?
Can you do it in the query?
Oh, it won't let you? Okay, never mind.
Do we have the privileges?
Can you try it while making a query as well?
No.
You could try it while making a query. Might work.
Yeah, right. Once you get the three tables up, you can do the joining that you got earlier.
So go to create.
When you opened it, did you like do all the allow access and everything, or did you?
Did you save a copy and working off a saved copy, or were you working off mine? That may be the problem.
It's a read-only. Yeah. Yes, it is read-only.
So you got to save it as a, you have to do the save and save your version of it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what I did. I put in student course, and the course table. I brought those up. And I brought down student ID, student name. I brought down course number from the student course table. And then I said, okay, I want to come over here and get the course name, so I brought that down. And then I said, oh, you know, I like the grade, so I brought that down as well. I don't think I said the grade when I was doing it. So I decided I'd bring the grade down as well. And so if I run this now, okay. And notice some people show up two times. I think there's a few that show up, one that shows up three times because they're taking multiple courses. Okay? So if you're taking three courses, it shows up three times. Okay. Now if I go back and I want to fix that query, and I decide I only want to see people that were, got an A. Yeah, what did I just do? I only want to see people that got an A. So I can put the grade underneath there and then view that. What did I do? The expression contains invalid syntax. Maybe I can't read, but it seems to me that that should be acceptable. Okay.
I don't think the A is 240.
Oh, you forgot the other quotation.
I had the other quotation in originally. I was waiting for it to put them in. Contains invalid, you may have ended an operand without an operand. Excuse me? Good. I'm glad it worked for somebody else. Did anybody else get it?
No.
Student grade. Okay, if I go up to student course and look at the design view, it's short text, two characters, but that shouldn't have made a difference. That's really strange. And so we went out and it was fine, and it's got just the letter grade sitting there. Very strange indeed. Okay, so let's try for the A minus, because there's one person that got an A minus, which is two characters. likes the A minus.
Was there something wrong with the data that could have been A?
I don't think so, but that's another possibility.
Oh.
And now it likes the A.
Okay.
Okay? So.
What happened?
Yeah. That's exactly my question. What happened? Now it's happy with the A. I was going to try and see if for some reason it wanted me to put in an A space. Because since I'd said two characters. But that shouldn't be true. Because characters at the end shouldn't matter. But I just did it a second time and it worked just fine. So flying saucers are clearly the clearly the problem is flying saucers. All right, we're done. Are you missing some?